all through this epistle. It goes back to the cross of Christ. 2:2. Jesus Christ is the propitiation for the sins of all people, unbeliever and believer. And by the way, this is why I say that if there is a mechanic, if there is a mechanic of recovery from sin in the epistle of 1 John, chapter 1, verse 6, through 1 John 2:2, it's in 2:2, because how does the unbeliever appropriate that propitiatory work? Every one of us knows. Faith. And if he relates to what he's doing here, he actually relates both sides of the chart. Both sides of the chart. He says, not only ours, believer, but unbeliever. How does the unbeliever appropriate the work of Christ on the cross, the propitiatory work on the cross? By faith. If that's how the unbeliever does it, that's how we're going to do it. He relates both sides of our safest model in that statement. The next thing in chapter 2, and I'll stop with this, and we'll pick this up next week, and I'm sorry, but we've got too much to not to do it. All right, not to, to, we have to close. 2:12. And again, note what his point is. Again, note what his point is. Chapter 2, verse 12. I am writing this to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Again, emphasizing the forgiveness. Again, emphasizing, don't be bogged down. Do not sin. I do not want you to sin. But don't be bogged down about it. They've been forgiven so that you can move on. Why? For his name's sake. So 2:12, again, believer, personal sins. Our personal sins are forgiven. The ramification of this, for these little children, don't be fearful of your sins. You're not going to lose because of your sins. You're not going to lose your salvation or blessings or even stop being used by God. It's not going to happen. You're going to continue. This is for children to understand, little children understand this, and then goes all the way through your adult life. It doesn't change. This is what I want you to start learning this early in your life. That he died to propitiate those sins. They are forgiven you. They are forgiven you. And don't ever forget that. I want you to learn it as a little child, and somehow when as we grow, we become very refined in our theology and we forget it. Don't ever forget it. You are forgiven. But what is so beautiful here is, for his name's sake. For his name's sake. People, let me ask you this. What advantage is it to God? What advantage is it to God? Now, we're dealing with believers. What advantage is it to God if we sin and he leaves us there? See, this is judgment. This is judgment. He could judge us and leave us there. And he'd be right in doing so, in that sense. But what does mercy do? What does grace do? What does forgiveness do? Now he can use us. Now we can have relationship, fellowship. Now we can have fellowship with him and with one another for his name's sake. Not for us, but for his name's sake. That's what Jesus Christ said in John chapter 12, remember? He said, you know, what good is it if I don't die? If I die, I will gain the world. I will gain all who will believe in me. I will have union and fellowship. I'll have a bride. All those things. But if I go down if I don't go down and die, though, if I hold on to my deity, if I hold on to being God and will not come down, I lose all of them. And what is that? I'd rather deprive myself of that position of deity, lower myself to the weakness of man, die on a cross, be buried, rise again, and gain a wife, and gain everyone who will believe in him, and gain the glory of my Father. See, it's for his name's sake. So what we have here in John in his hermeneutology, in his doctrine of sin, is that God does this. He provides all of this for his name's sake. Oh, people, what I want us to do is to get our eyes off of the focus of self and of sin and of man and think of what happened on the cross and what God is doing in regard to sin. That's what John wants us to do, so that we can love as Christ loved, so that we can have fellowship with God, so that we can have fellowship with each other, so that we can be used in the plan of God. And sin is going to interfere with all of that. But God has provided a way to take care of it. So up to this point then, almost everything John teaches about sin is grace and recovery. Everything that he said so far about sin is about grace, recovery, and mercy. He restores, and he does all of these things too for his name's sake. What does Psalm 23 say? He restores my soul and then deleting. Remember that when we studied Psalm 23? It's in the booklet. First of all, he restores. Why? So that he can leave. If he doesn't restore us, he can't lead us. So he restores so that he can lead. This is the way he deals with us. This is what the cross accomplished. Any question in regard to what we've covered in regard to sin and the cross? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer.